Welcome to Uncle Bob's Magic Cabinet, a mother-daughter podcast about all things magic and mythology and pop culture. The daughter.
I'm Lori. I'm the mom.
What's
At least
up?
I think I am.
Oh my God. Are you okay?
Am I?
Where am I?
What day is it?
Lori had a yingling.
I did.
A schlingling.
Schlingling.
Yingling, yingling.
We're making our PA people proud.
Yes.
We're drinking yingling.
Yeah.
Not spons.
Yeah.
You think we could get sponsored by? No.
No.
I answered my.
Move it along.
Okay. Hey, something fucked up happened.
Yeah,
this week.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been a week. Another yingling.
I was going to say there's a reason we're drinking yingling today. Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. We laugh at our pain here.
Of course.
We laugh at our trauma. It is the way I specifically, and all jokes aside, it is how I like deal with stuff.
Yeah.
In my opinion, if you can't laugh, what the fuck is the point?
Oh, okay. My gosh.
Because the world is rough.
Oh,
it's
man.
Rough out there. It's rough out there.
Yikes.
So I'm going to tell you a story about something that happened
just a few short days ago.
Just a few days ago.
I'm still recovering.
We're all a little like, I just want to preface this by saying this story is not funny.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not funny.
No, not funny.
But we're going to laugh at it together so that we can, you know, because there are funny elements. And if there is a funny element to something, I will find it.
I'm going
to
find it.
And I'm going to tell you all about it.
And I'm going to ride it hard.
All right. So I just wanted to be known that I understand that this is not funny. So people are going to listen and be like, oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. So do you remember when I was pregnant, we told a story about having to take Fact Check Jake to the hospital.
Yes.
To get a colonoscopy. And a bug almost crawled up his ass.
Yes.
Okay. If you have not heard that story, go back.
Is it a centipede?
It's probably like, it was like a millipede. Ew. My skin is crawling just thinking about it. Okay. Hey, we had to go to the same hospital.
Yeah.
So
why? Why did we have to go?
So, okay. Fact check Jake. The doctor was worried about his heart. Oh, yeah. Let's all fact check
Yikes.
Jake. And he needed to get a stress test.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow
Jake has to quit drinking 2 pots of coffee a day.
Oh yeah. He's not allowed to touch caffeine. She was like, the doctor was like, enough is enough.
No more.
And he's an all or nothing kind of guy. So now he has not touched a drop since she told him. And you know what? I'm like, I'm so proud of him.
Bravo.
Because I don't think I could do it.
I did not stand in solidarity.
No, Laura was like, and anyway, I'm going to still keep drinking my pot.
What? I was like, you know what? I really like, I'd like to do that too. Nope.
Nope. The next
2 hours later, I'm like, brew it.
You're guzzling it the next day.
I mean, I only
As
drink
fact check,
one.
Jake
I drink
cries
one or
in
two
the corner. Yeah, he drank like a pot. So that
was two, maybe two.
Okay, so we had to take him to the hospital to get a stress test.
Yeah.
They like made him walk on a treadmill and make him like, you
EKG,
know, make sure everything was okay in there.
Yeah.
The reason we had to go back to the Millipede Hospital.
Yes.
And if you're from Pittsburgh, you can put 2 and 2 together and figure out what hospital we're talking about. Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's like notorious for being not great.
Yes.
We had to go back to this specific hospital because it was the only one that had openings and you're about to figure out why.
Yeah. Because all the other places were like March,
months.
April, and it's like, holy crap.
Yeah. And it was his heart. So we really wanted to make sure everything
Could've
was
killed
okay.
over before then.
Oh my God. Don't say so.
Well, you know what I mean? Like,
no, I know.
The wait.
Exactly. And this hospital was like, we have an opening tomorrow.
Like
and we're like, say less, we're going to go.
It's not like you're waiting for like new underwear or a new thing in the mail or something.
No,
it's
that's
like,
what I mean. Checking his heart.
Yeah,
kind of serious.
Yeah.
Okay. So we go to this hospital.
Right.
And again, a stress test. This is what makes this kind of funny.
Yeah.
Because, you know, so we go in. And I'm going to say, first of all, that Fact Check Jake is wearing a black hoodie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why is he wearing a black hookie?
A black hookie. have another ying. Have another schlingling. He's wearing a black hoodie because it was really warm outside and he went to put on his heavier jacket. And I, the dumbass that I am, was like, it's a little warm. Why don't you put on your hoodie?
Yeah.
And you're going to see why this is funny
Bad
in a minute.
Mistake.
Bad. First mistake.
You know what? And that's going to play into my movie. But is so it? Just remember that.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay. So we go to this hospital and obviously we're both stressed because we're worried that maybe something is wrong with Fact Check Jake. Again, he is okay.
Yeah. And Mimi's at home with October.
Mimi is at home with October. She's also stressed because, you know,
stressed.
We're all we have. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. We have to keep everyone okay. And we go into the hospital. I want to say we did not have to walk through a metal detector. Okay, I just want that to be known because what the fuck?
Yeah.
We did not have to walk through a metal detector. We go in, we go up, and we're sitting in the waiting room. We're waiting to go back. You know, we're on like the second floor.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, a cop walks by or like the security guard. Mm-hmm. And he is just fucking mean mugging Jake. He's frantic and he's staring at Jake. And you know, Jake being Jake, he's like, what the fuck are you looking at?
Pistol cocked. Right?
I'm like, Jake, don't.
And we're pistol cocked.
He had a gun, yes, and he had his hand on the gun, which was, you know, not maybe weird for a security guard to be doing, but it, you know, as two people, we both have PTSD.
Right.
I want that, you know, we both have PTSD. So instantly I'm like, okay, what the fuck's going on? And we're sitting next to a bathroom and he goes and opens the bathroom door and is like looking around frantically. And I'm like, okay, what the fuck?
And I
look at Jake and I'm like, okay, I'm a little nervous.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm sure it's nothing. Another cop walks by frantically looking at Jake. And then we hear over his walkie, armed, suspicious person.
On the loose.
White male. Male.
White male.
White male. Wearing a black hoodie.
Tattoos.
Be on alert. He's armed
and something's dangerous.
Armed and dangerous. He and I think I heard them say like he's trying to get into a room with a doctor. I don't know, but we heard like bits and pieces, and I'm like, okay, what the fuck?
What the hell?
Another cop walks by. So at this point, like a few minutes go by, and I'd say we saw like five, six cops frantically walking by. Each one of them staring at Jake. Because he's wearing the exact same thing that this armed person.
Okay,
so then Lee, me over here, keep in mind, Fact Check Jake is there for the stress test. I start having a panic attack, like an actual panic attack. I'm shaking. I'm hyperventilating. I'm like, Jake, we need to leave the hospital. And he's like, we can't.
I need my stress test.
First of all, I need to get the stress test. I'm about to fucking, like, I've had enough. And second of all, like, we don't know where this person is, so we just have to stay put.
Yeah.
Then the doctor, in the middle of all of this, again, like, cops walking by.
This is just average every day, you know?
Again, at this specific hospital, they seemed like it was all in a day. All in a day. The doctor calls us up, and they tried to separate me. And well, first, they told me to stay in the waiting room, and I was, again, shaking, and I was like,
absolutely not.
Absolutely not. I have to come back there. I am not staying out here with what's going
on. Right, right.
And then, you know, I'm going in my head, like, how do I get out of this hospital? How do we get out of here? What the fuck?
Right.
We go back, he gets taken to a stress test and I get put in a room back behind. Mm. So I'm like a little safer.
Yeah. But not really.
But not really, because I'm kind of like in a cage at that point. So then I get sat down, I'm fucking crying and I'm in there with other patients. So I'm like, who clearly probably didn't know what was going on.
Right, right.
And I'm like, okay, fuck, like don't scare them.
Right.
And I'm sitting there. And as I'm looking around, I realize that really I would have nowhere to go. If someone with a gun came into that room, I would have nowhere to go. So then I'm like, I have to text Laura. And I really didn't want to do this.
Go in with what you led with.
I said, don't panic. which is never a good sign. And Laura instantly starts panicking.
Of course.
We're okay. I was like, but you know, I had to do the whole spiel. I love you. If something happens to us, please take care of October.
Yeah. And so, of course, I am No.
It's not funny. See?
I'm done. Have another Yingling.
I was going to say chug.
Holy
chug
shit.
A, yeah. Chug-a-lugga.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then Jake is back there mm-hmm. getting like, first of all, he had to have his chest shaved partially for the things to stick to his chest. He has like two patches of chest hair that are missing. Definitely giving a 40-year-old virgin. So he's texting me. He's like, it's all good. And then the nurse that he was with got word that they had cleared the hospital or found the person, whatever.
Right.
But the funny thing that we can all agree is slightly funny is they thought it was Jake.
Right.
They thought it was Jake mm-hmm. because he matched the description. Mm-hmm. So every cop that was walking by, and we didn't really like piece it together.
Like until a gun in his face. Yeah.
Well, they were literally like up on us. So again, adding to the like, well, what the fuck is going on? Yeah. And he's sitting there like with his wristband and his papers. Yeah. He's like, I'm just trying to get a stress test. But they thought it was him. And that's why they kept circling our floor.
Right.
I don't even know if the person made it to our floor. But they thought it was fact check Jake.
Yeah, yeah. And then you're texting me throughout the whole thing and I'm trying to keep you. And I'm
Laura's like, look
I'm
for like, an exit. Look I'm like, for a window.
You know, I always get pissed off when I have to take that active shooter training at work every couple months. And I'm like, Jesus, I've seen this a million times. But that's exactly where my head went. I'm like, where are you at? You're like in the bathroom. I'm like, get out. Get out. You can't lock the door. You're trapped in there.
Well, I went into the bathroom to see if there was a window.
Yeah, get out.
And Jake's like, you were going to jump out of the window. I said, yeah, I'm not going fucking down like this. No, I would rather jump. You're not taking me out, man. If anyone's taking me out, it's me. Fuck you. But yeah, it was just, we got home and we all like had a group hug.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you guys got home and literally 5 or 10 minutes after you got home, I had to go to work and I strolled in there looking like
a hot mess.
The crazy cat lady.
Oh no.
Like, I had my bedroom slippers on and my robe.
Again, we're laughing at it. We could all laugh that they thought it was fact check Jake.
It's like, if I smoked, I would have been like, chief and
ooh. Oh dude, I was like, is there anything in the house? Give me something.
Oh my God.
Give me a cheeseburger. I don't even care. Any vice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was not cute.
Right.
Again, with all of us who have PTSD, like we have been diagnosed with PTSD.
Yeah.
Not cute. Not like the best thing. So we're a little on edge this week.
Yeah.
But again, we can all have a laugh, right?
Sure. Sure. Maybe later. Not today.
Laura's always the last one to laugh.
Too soon.
Me and Jake were laughing when we came in the house. I'm like, dude, they thought it was fact check Jake.
You know, I always think I'm like a cat and I have 9 lives, but my gosh, we just keep shaving them off these last few years. Just shaving them off.
I'm like, dude, we barely leave the house. We're going to a hospital. Like, what the fuck? And, you know, we don't really know what happened, but the nurse thinks that this person committed a crime elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then was trying to duck into the hospital and it was not cute. So, you know, here we are. We're still here, motherfuckers. You keep trying. You keep trying. Hey, also kind of in line with your topic today.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Death. You can't catch me.
Don't say that.
What? I know. Why do I keep saying that?
You're going to regret that after my lesson.
Oh no. Ooh, don't tell me that. But yeah, hey. Here we are, everyone.
Here we are.
That's just a little insight into what it's like to just be, I feel like to just be a person nowadays. When it started happening, I was like, naturally.
Yeah.
Because this happens every day.
Yeah. So this is like life and then there's the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just all a hot fucking mess. Mm-hmm. But anyway, at least we're all here together and we love you. Yeah. And fact check Jake.
Was profiled. Hey, I mean, and hey, they were like, you passed the test.
Oh my God.
All of that.
Somehow that man passed the stress test.
Yeah.
I think his nurses were really great.
Yeah.
They were like making him laugh. And when they brought him out, they were like, I can't believe he passed that stress test when a cop was up in his face with a gun. Like they were trying to, you know, it was something. So here we are. And round of applause for fact check Jake, everyone. Yay. He passed the stress test and his heart is okay.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah. Wow.
Laura's still not laughing.
I'm still not laughing. I'm just really sad that he has to give up caffeine.
You know what? That is a big bummer, especially for someone like him, because it was like his joy in the day. You know,
that's what he said. I really love coffee.
You know, he really does too. Fuck. And like, again, all or nothing. So he's not even trying decaf. Yeah. No, he's like, no.
What's the point of that?
I know.
Right?
No joy in that.
No.
Hey, so we're going to get into it. Let's do it. Have another, you know, speaking of a serious matter.
Yeah.
We're just going to say this. Yeah. Free Palestine.
Yeah.
Okay. We talked about this a long time ago, mm-hmm. a while back. Our stance has not changed on the matter.
Yeah.
If you were wondering, but, you know, it's just seemed to have gotten worse. So we just wanted to let you know where we still stand. That is not going to change. If you need help, you know, getting educated on the matter, we will put some links in our show notes.
There you go.
And we're just going to try to make you laugh today. Okay. Because again, we laugh through it here. Okay. Mm-hmm. As much as we possibly can.
And then I weep at night when I'm alone.
You don't have to tell people that part.
Hey, that's some vulnerability right there.
You keep that to yourself. No, I'm just kidding. No, we love you all.
Yeah.
That's all we have to say. Yeah. We do have a new patron to thank.
Yay.
Yay. Molly.
Thank you, Molly.
Dropping Molly with Molly. No, I mean, after everything I just said, you know, why not? Why the fuck not? Welcome to the family, Molly.
Welcome.
We're happy to have you. If you want to join the Patreon family, the link will be in our show notes. Yes. Go check it out. Don't miss Full Moon Film Club.
Oh my gosh, such a great time.
It's getting crowded in there in the best way possible.
Yeah, it's so awesome.
The one we had, what was that, last week?
Yeah,
wow, that was really special.
Great.
Just a great bunch of people.
We did a night's tale, and that was awesome.
You know what? Take us to the Renaissance Fair.
I love
always.
That movie. Yeah.
That was a really good one. Don't miss those. That's for the $10 and up patrons. Mm-hmm. And we would love to see you in there because holy shit. And the next movie is Saved.
Ooh, I'm so excited. Yes.
If you don't know what Full Moon Film Club is, we meet around the full moon and we talk about a movie and someone is in charge. A different patron is
patron
in charge every month. And we talk about it and hang
out. A
themed
drink, a themed costume. Hey, whatever.
I know. I love that.
It's a good time.
You didn't show up in jousting gear for A Knight's Tale. I was slightly disappointed.
I showed up as Heath Ledger.
Okay.
In the movie.
Yeah, she let her curls down.
I had the same hairdo.
Oh my gosh, you did. Go check that out. Rate us on Spotify and Apple as well. Thank you. With the stories we just told you, you know,
five stars,
come on,
please.
Throw us a 5-star. We need it. Okay.
Yeah, you ready?
I'm up to bat.
You're getting into it.
And Laura, I have something to tell you.
What?
Well, first of all, this is a Trash Can Thursday.
Trash Can Thursday.
Used to be called
Fuck Up Friday.
Fuck Up Fridays. We rebranded as Trash Can Thursday. And this is where we each pick a topic that one of us did before.
Yeah.
That we maybe weren't happy with, that we maybe fucked up a little bit, that belonged in the trash can.
Yeah.
And we do it again.
Yeah.
We swap.
But we swap.
We swap and we do it again.
Yeah.
I played a little trick on you, though.
Did you?
I did.
You're going to tell me you didn't watch the movie you said you were going to watch.
I'm doing a completely different movie that I told you I was doing.
Little stinker.
Okay, let me explain.
What? I knew it this morning when I was like, how'd you like the movie? Because you had never seen it before. And you were like, oh, yeah, I really liked it.
I was like, yeah,
it was
really great.
Yeah, bitch, you didn't even watch it. No.
Could you see right through me?
I saw right through
you.
That.
Know me too well. She was like, what's
I was like,
your...
She didn't watch that movie.
She was like, what's your lesson about? And I was like, I don't want to tell you. Mm-hmm. It's because I had a surprise.
Is that right?
Okay, so I originally was supposed to redo Death Becomes Her. And here's the thing about Trash Can Thursdays. Here's the thing about Trash Can Thursdays. It's supposed to be a redo of something that the other person fucked up. And I don't think you fucked that one up.
No?
When I think back on that episode, I love
pretty
it.
Good.
Hilarious.
Talked about the Fountain of Youth.
The Fountain of Youth?
Fountain of Youth. The two youths.
Was that like a Scottish accent or what was that?
No, that was Joe Pesci.
Oh, okay. No. Okay. Yes. Thank you. A Scottish Joe Pesci.
The two youths. What's that movie called?
Goodfellas?
No. When he's the lawyer.
Oh my God, my cousin Vinny.
My cousin
okay,
Vinny.
Thank you. Yep. But yes, you talked about the Fountain of Youth for your lesson.
Yeah.
And I remember that being a really funny episode. Mm-hmm. So when I sat down to do it, I was like, why are we redoing this one? Because I don't think that you fucked it up.
Wow.
So then I went back and I was like, what do I think
what
that
clinker, what clinker did she really do?
And I landed on the Witches of Eastwick.
Good.
And
this you is, take that
this
one.
Is why I didn't tell you.
Yeah.
Because I knew you'd be pissy
about
it. I don't
like that movie.
I know you don't. But here's the thing. Okay. This was one of our first episodes when Lore covered the Witches of Eastwick.
Yeah,
I mean,
it?
I'm talking like
early on
top 10. Like
wow.
It was one of the earliest. People love this movie.
Yes, I know.
And they ask us to do it all the time.
And
probably
we did it
people.
Poorly.
Well, I don't think you did it poorly. Here's why. So I'm going to explain why this is my Trash Can Thursday pick. You did not like this movie.
No.
And I think that you didn't like this movie for good reason. Okay.
It's Jackal Nicholson.
Laura's a little tipsy today. Jackal Nicholson was in it. We all know Laura doesn't like Jackie Nick. Okay. So that was strike one. Strike two, this movie is often put into the female empowerment category. And
I say nay.
And Laura says nay. And to be honest, I think that two things can be true at once. I think it is simultaneously not and is.
Yeah.
Okay. Did that make any sense coming out of my mouth?
Got you.
I think that
for the time.
Well, I think that partially it is and partially it isn't. But I think that's kind of the point.
They cave at the end.
Well, way to spoil it. Okay, so I am going to go into this. If you want to hear why Laura did not think this was a, you know, female empowerment movie, you could go back. I am not going to address that at all.
Okay.
I decided to go into this movie
different direction.
With it being just a movie.
You're talking about cherries. Are you,
you
really?
You little fucker.
Are you seriously?
You little fucker.
I just pulled that out of my ass.
You little fucker. I'm so mad right now. I tried to play a trick on you. And then you got me good.
Wow. I don't even know how I came
spoiler
up with
that. Alert.
I'm like, what else could you possibly talk about in that movie?
Lord, just to be spoiled cherries. My fucking lesson.
Just spitting out cherry seeds.
I'm so mad at you right now. Fuck you. Those who don't know this movie are going to be like, what the fuck? I decided to go into it and just give it the Uncle Bob's treatment and take out all of our criticism.
Okay. Leave that at the door.
Leave that. Well, you handled that.
I sure did.
You sure did.
I sure did.
You roasted the shit out of this movie. Okay.
Yes.
And so I am going to try to, for the people that liked this movie, give it another go.
Yeah. It was written by a man, right?
Okay. Yes, Laura.
Okay.
Would you shut the fuck up? My God. I kind of liked
it. Did you?
I mean, if you think about that, that was 4 years ago that we covered that movie. Mm-hmm. Different time in our lives. I was able to separate all that pissed me off about it and just enjoy the film.
All right, cool.
So just bear with me.
I'm going
and
to.
And try to do the same if you can. Okay. So The Witches of Eastwick, 1987.
Yes. Wow.
This is a dark comedy / fantasy / horror film.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what? Those are all of my favorite things.
Yeah.
It's rated R. And you know what?
It should have
It should have been rated R. Some of the stuff that was coming
saucy.
Out.
Saucy.
It was very saucy. It was. The tagline, 3 beautiful women, 1 lucky devil.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. Screenplay by Michael Christopher, based on the novel written by John Updike and directed by George Miller. So you've got a lot of men at the helm.
George Miller.
Okay, here's your cast.
Mm-hmm.
Jackal Nicholson.
Jackal.
As Daryl Van Horn.
Yeah.
And despite your feelings about it, I think this could not have been cast more perfectly.
Mm.
He was the perfect person to play this part.
He sure was.
I'm sorry.
Sure was. I don't think he had to do much acting.
I don't think he did either. We have Cher as Alexandra Medford.
That's part of the whole film.
My God damn, is she fucking gorgeous.
She's beautiful.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, I could not take my eyes off her.
Gorgeous.
Anytime Cher is in the room, I can't take my eyes off of her. But in this movie, wow, she was
gorgeous.
And she was like the character, I don't know, I liked her character best.
She was the best part of the whole movie.
We have Susan Sarandon, who I also like, as Jane Spofford.
Jane.
Then you have Michelle Pfeiffer. As Suki Ridgemont. So
like
you've got
name.
A beautiful
Suki.
Cast. I mean, all of these women
or just stunning. I mean,
the cast was stellar.
Stellar cast. You have Veronica Cartwright as Felicia Alden and Richard Jenkins as Clyde Alden.
Love Richard.
And we were watching it and Jake's like, is that the dad from Step Brothers? And I was like, yes, yes,
and
it
from
is.
6 Feet Under.
I mean, he's in everything.
Dude.
You'll find
he
this
is in
man.
Everything.
Yeah. But
6 Feet Under. Wow. We just talked about that, but great.
6 Feet Under is fantastic if you've not watched that show, but him as the dad in Step Brothers.
Hilarious.
When they go on his boat, he's so pissed. Okay. Here's your rundown of the movie. Uh-huh. Okay. The film opens with an aerial shot of quote unquote Eastwick, Rhode Island in the fall. But in reality, it is Cohasset, Massachusetts.
Fictional.
Yeah. But wow, is it pretty? Like if I could, in my mind, where do I want to live? Uh-huh. It would look something like this.
Yes.
Our main characters are three friends living in this small town. We have Alex, a sexy sculptor. Mm-hmm. This is Cher, whose husband, Ozzy, died. They don't say how he died, but she was very much in love with him, but he died. Rest in peace.
Bummer. And bye had Ozzy.
Rest in peace, Ozzy. They had one daughter together.
It wasn't Osborne. Go ahead.
He's still somehow living. I mean, I'm happy about it, but... also slightly surprised. Okay. Then we have Jane, a somewhat uptight music teacher.
Oh my gosh.
Who is recently divorced, seemingly over the fact that she cannot have kids. Mm-hmm. So fuck that. There fuck that go. Guy. And last we have Suki, a slightly crunchy mom of six girls and a writer for the Eastwick Word newspaper, the local paper, who was deserted by her husband after having all of these children. So
why? Because they were girls?
No, I think just because she had children. So that's a conversation for another fucking day.
For another day.
Again, I said I was removing everything about there this movie that pissed me off.
But I could see you pursing your lips. But go ahead. You I keep was, going. You go. Go ahead.
This is going to be in the trash can again. Okay, when a giant storm rolls into town, the girls gather together at Alex's house / studio, which is fucking gorgeous, to have some drinks and bitch about their woes.
Yeah.
Or bitch about men.
Yeah. Or lack of.
Or lack of men, which has become somewhat of a Thursday ritual for
trash
all of
can
them.
Thursdays.
There you go. Hey, fitting. They're all interested in finding a new man, but the prospects in Eastwick aren't looking too great.
Slim.
Slim to none. So they wish for a romantic stranger. Handsome.
Say no more.
Handsome, but not too handsome, okay? With nice eyes and a nice ass and a functioning penis. They don't care about the size of the penis. They just want a penis. Thoughts on that? Okay.
I'm not even kidding.
I thought maybe you could relate.
Revolting.
I thought maybe you could... I can relate. Not me. I'm good. You.
From what I hear, his penis functions just fine.
Penis.
Jackie Nicholson.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay. Anyway, the next day we learned that an out-of-town stranger from New York has just purchased the local Lennox mansion, and everyone in town is intrigued.
Yes.
Though no one can seem to remember his name.
Mm-hmm.
It's like at the tip of their tongue.
Of course.
Okay. But Felicia.
Devil's got your tongue.
Lord, there are some people who don't know this movie. Stop spoiling shit. But Felicia Alden, the uber religious wife of Suki's boss, Clyde, is not too excited. Okay. Because she has a feeling that something evil has just arrived, as Laura just told us.
Just rolled on in.
Later that night, the girls finally see the mystery man for themselves when he is caught snoring through Jane's cello recital. I had to ask Jake what instrument she was playing. Cello? You have a bass. Jack Black taught us so much in School of Rock,
he sure
right?
did.
I would also be snoring through it. It was a little stuffy.
Yeah. Susan Sarandon's knickers are in a twist in this movie.
At this point. I mean, you know, we wonder why her husband was obviously a fucking ass bag. Anyway, after oogling Jane when she's done performing the cello, the man leaves her flowers with a note and we finally learn his name. Daryl Van Horn. The second his name is said out loud, Suki's pearl necklace breaks, okay, all over the ground. And the beads cause religious Felicia to take a tumble down the steps, much like Scarlett. And she breaks her leg. Like, you can see the bone. Ooh. She's like, I think I broke my leg. And I'm like, yeah, bitch.
Sure did.
Bone is hanging out.
Yikes.
No one is too concerned, though, because all anyone can think about is Daryl Van Horn.
Van Horn.
Especially our three girls. Uh-huh. Okay.
Van Horny is more like
that. And you know what? His eyebrows are so devilish.
You know what? Whatever they wished for, they did not get. I'm sorry. Lord. Send that shit back.
The roast of Jack Nicholson does have to happen soon because you've spent too much time just fucking ripping this man to shreds. Okay, Alex is the first to cross his path when she rides over to the mansion on her bike. Okay. And he tells her that her little booby statues that she's making in her pottery studio pack a potent punch. I'm he sure purchased them all. They look kind of like, I don't know, some kind of goddess. And he bought them all.
Uh-huh.
Alex and Van Horn share a luxurious lunch, followed by some seduction and sex. And I put seduction in quotation marks because Jack Nicholson is like,
he's got the paisley robe.
He's got a robe on and satin slippers, and he's like crawling on the bed like an animal. And I just cannot take it seriously.
There's nothing seductive about that.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I kind of.
Please. If you do, I'm going to puke in my mouth. Don't even say it. I kind of got it
a little bit in this movie. Like, I understand just like a little bit.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Laura's never going to talk to me.
You're no longer related to me.
Again, the seduction is followed by sex because Van Horn always likes a little pussy after lunch. And that is a direct quote. Again, if you want to hear our thoughts on that, you can go back a few years. Mm-hmm. The key here, though, is that Van Horn knows exactly what Alex needs to hear and the way she needs to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
He talks to everyone in a very manipulative way.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the next day, Van Horn pays a visit to instantly flustered Jane.
Of course.
Okay.
Who keeps pearls?
No, that was Suki.
Oh, Suki.
This is Jane with the cello.
Cello.
Jane keeps things casual by telling him the history of his new house. They just so happened to burn witches there back in the day.
You don't say.
Go figure. After their conversation about how much men suck ass. Okay. They passionately play some cello together.
Oh, nice.
And Jane, who finally feels unrestricted and free, throws
her hair down.
She lets her hair down and she throws herself at Van Horn.
Uh-huh.
So that's two out of our group that have now had sex with Van Horn. From here on out, Jane drops the uptight, slightly reserved clothing for a new sexy look.
Of course.
Susan Sarandon's perm. In this movie, every time you see her, it just slightly gets bigger. Was it a wig or was it her actual hair?
I would say it's probably a wig.
You know what? She looked gorgeous. I wasn't mad at it, but just every
time. Yeah, it kept growing bigger and bigger.
It was like Monica's hair in Friends when she...
I understand.
Yes. Okay, that means it's Suki's turn to take a ride.
She's up.
So Van Horn invites all three girls over for a tennis match, which gets heated.
Balls are floating.
Balls are floating and flying. It gets heated and magical.
Ooh. Yeah, they're floating around there. Right?
So yes, yeah, that scene is really something. It was funny. You can admit it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
The girls learn finally that they are in fact witches. So their little Thursday. Did you just burp?
No, I said.
Someone roll the tapes. I feel like a little burp came out.
I don't think.
Their little Thursday meetings. It was like a coven meetup.
Right.
Okay. They're witches. And now that they're secure in their power, they agree to share Daryl. At this point in time, Jack Nicholson is wearing a swimming cap.
He's bewitched them because...
And I'm like, wait, first of all, who looks sexy in a swimming cap? No one, but that man in the swimming cap. Go look it up. I could not take it seriously. Okay, word of the girls' entanglement with Van Horn starts spreading around town, and they are, of course, labeled as whores.
Oh, of course.
By a now crazed Felicia Alden and everyone else. At one point, someone's like, she's not wearing a bra. I'm like, Jesus Christ,
God.
Let your titties fly. Like, mother of God.
We burned those in the 70s.
So uptight for what? Let them out. I'm not wearing a bra right now. One night as Felicia is incessantly yapping about the girls being hoes to her husband, she begins choking on cherry pits and vomiting them out everywhere. And just all around acting very bizarre.
Disgusting scene.
It is very gross.
Yeah.
She's acting so bizarre that Clyde has no choice but to stab her to death with a fire poker. He's like, let's call it a night. I've had enough of you. So the girls who just so happened to be eating Cheryl's.
And Daryl's Cheryl's. It's a cross between Daryl and Cherry.
Thank you. Yes. They were eating cherries with D. His nickname is D. At the time of Felicia's death, realize that they are partially to blame.
Of course.
For her death and decide to cut things off with their man. Which is unfortunate considering they all realize around the same time that they're pregnant.
Of course.
Including Jane, who up until this point could not have
kids.
Could
not do it.
Okay, so this does not please Daddy Daryl.
No.
Who is revealed to be the devil, a demon. They never specifically say...
I'm just shaking my head. I know it's coming. He turns into a large dog.
No, stop it.
And that is just unacceptable.
Yeah, he's the devil. I think we can all agree that he's the devil, right? Okay, so he decides to fuck with the girls by making their worst fears come to life. Mm-hmm. So that for Alex is being covered in snakes. Mm-hmm. For Jane, it's growing old. She ages rapidly.
Yeah.
And for Suki, it is feeling immense physical pain and she winds up in the hospital.
Yeah.
Okay, so our girls get smart. They realize they kind of have to play nice a little bit.
Yeah.
They pretend to get back with D. Uh-huh. But in reality, they are plotting his exit.
Yes.
Because they're witches. Uh-huh. Okay, they know they have
they're
the
powerful.
Power. They use melted candle wax and 3 pinches of what I believe is Daryl's hair.
He doesn't have any.
I think I saw some chest hair. Like Fact Check Jake. Aww. He's missing a few patches now. They form a doll with the waxen hair, okay? Which they use to fuck with him. So they like stab it with pins. They blow feathers on it to try to blow him out of town.
Sure.
And again, they do the cherry trick where they eat the cherries and then he starts vomiting up cherries.
Right.
Super speed round wrap up.
Please.
After being tortured via the doll, D arrives back at the mansion and turns into his true form. Did you call it a dog?
Is it a dog?
I don't know what it is.
The hounds of hell.
A massive, gross, growling beast. The sound effects that are coming out of Jack Nicholson's character in this movie, like, what on fucking earth?
It's like his head on an animal's body or something.
It's very odd. Yes. Go see for yourself. They all tussle and Van Horn's wax doll ends up in flames, causing him to vanish after turning into something that I cannot explain. Okay. Mm-hmm. But according to Wikipedia, it's a homunculus.
Homunculus.
Homunculus. Mm. So that,
I don't know if that is.
I also don't know what it is, but it's something.
Add it to the list.
I think it's like a small person. I don't really know.
Oh.
I don't. I was maybe going to look at that for my lesson, but I was confused. So I dropped it. Cut to months later. The ladies now living in the mansion all together.
Wow.
They all have their babies who happen to all be boys.
Of course.
Okay. Daryl appears to his 3 boys via multiple television sets that are in the mansion and tells them to give daddy a kiss, which is where I was like, okay, any sex appeal that I was picking up on is now gone because give daddy a kiss. Ugh.
Yuck.
Before the girls arrive to shut the screens off for good. Mm-hmm. And that is the end.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? I liked it more.
Did you?
This go round. I would say once I like decided to tune out what pissed me off about it, I think it's a really good movie.
Yeah.
No. Okay. I thought you were maybe going to give me something.
Oh, no. No, no, no.
You said, oh, no.
I can't go down that road.
Okay. You know what? I see why people like it. Mm-hmm. I do.
I mean, it is very popular.
Fantastic cast. It was funny. It had some good special effects. So it was like visually very striking, I would say.
The town was beautiful.
I would say overall 6 out of 10. There you go. That's what I give it.
Okay.
As you so kindly spoiled, my lesson is the magic of cherries.
My gosh. I don't even know where that came from.
So obviously the doll. the doll was mm-hmm. like the biggest example
yeah.
of actual magic. But mm-hmm. I had discussed dolls and sympathetic magic in the life size episode.
Yes.
Naturally. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't really go anywhere with that.
Yeah.
And so the other thing that stood out to me was cherries. The cherries, mm-hmm. because I would say I'm a cherry girl.
Life's a bowl of cherries.
Thank you.
Until you get the pit.
You know what?
That's what you got last week.
Ain't that the fucking truth?
Or the cherry. Depends on how you look at it. Woo! Yeah. Turn that shit around.
Come on, optimist pessimist.
My glass is half full.
Yeah, girl. Up top. I would say I'm a cherry girl. Mm-hmm. Like if I had to say I was a fruit, mm-hmm. I don't know. I think would I'd maybe be a cherry.
Yeah.
Anything with a cherry on it, I'll buy it. Mm-hmm. Anything cherry flavored, I'll eat it. Mm-hmm. I think I'm a cherry girl. I love a cherry scent. So you know what? I was like, hold on. Let's talk about the magic of cherries.
Why was this in here?
It was, I think it was kind of used in a really good way. Yes. So a cherry is the fruit of many plants of the genus Prunus. Oh, and is a drupe. Do you know what a drupe is?
Yes.
Oh, do you? Oh, fuck. Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to school you a little bit. No. In botany, a drupe essentially means stone fruit.
Yes.
Okay, so fleshy on the outside, covering a single hardened shell, which houses a seed. Mm. Cute. Wild cherries, or Prunus avium, mm-hmm. are indigenous to most of Europe, parts of Northern Africa, and Western Asia.
Ooh.
And they have been consumed since prehistoric times.
Nice.
Are we getting a little sciencey?
Yes, you know, I think you are. Botany is a science. Get your botany coat out.
Someone get me my botany coat. It's a specific lab coat.
It is.
That I only put on when I talk botany. They are obviously a food minus the pit.
Yes.
And we'll get to that later. Good for cooking, good for wine, sweet treats, jams and jellies.
Yeah.
We love a jam and jelly.
Pie, as Del Cooper would say.
I was going to say, I couldn't let go of the Twin Peaks vibe.
Yeah,
I'm rolling right into it.
Rolling in.
Yeah, I had to keep it.
There you go.
But they have also been used in magic for quite some time due to their association with love and sex, divination, fertility, and longevity.
Ooh.
They are also often associated with youthfulness and innocence. So there you go. Yes.
Interesting.
So this is a feminine plant.
Mm-hmm.
Ruled by the planet Venus and the element water. And it is most often linked to the zodiac sign Pisces. I think because of its ties to divination.
Nice.
And I think that it was also linked to like Aphrodite, anything involving love.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Because of their deep red flesh, blood-colored juice, and stone that can resemble a womb, you have a little creativity.
Yeah. Hey, cut that cherry in half. It's very womb looking.
It's looking good. No,
I don't know why you said that.
I don't know either. They have long been associated with the human body.
Mm.
So most herbalists will tell you that this plant comes with a ton of health benefits for the body and can therefore be used in infusions and medicines. Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Okay. And in Greek mythology, cherry was supposedly part of the elixir that granted the gods immortality. So life.
The fountain of youth.
There you go. Similarly, in Chinese lore, the mystical phoenix was said to sleep on a bed of cherry blossoms so that it would live forever. That's very pretty. I like that.
Cherry blossoms. So yeah. Beautiful.
Speaking of cherry blossoms, they play a big role in Japanese folklore as well and are often used as a symbol for hope, renewal, new beginnings, etc. The cycle of life.
Yes.
So the blooming of cherry blossoms marks the arrival of spring, which we're coming up on. So how fitting.
Don't quote me, but I think when they have the cherry blossom festival in Washington, D.C., those were gifted.
Yes. You know? Yeah. Yes, I believe so. Yeah. So yeah, it's kind of symbolizes a fresh start for all. And I'm not going to expand on that just yet because cherry blossoms could be its own
thing. Cool.
Yes, because it has a lot
They're so beautiful.
It pops up in a lot of folklore.
So pretty.
Okay, so cherries are also seen throughout European folklore. Cherry trees were thought to have protective qualities and as such were planted all around homes to ward off negative energy or spirits.
Wow.
And the fruit.
It's a run by fruiting.
Oh my God. Such an underrated part of Mrs. Doubtfire. Yeah. The fruit was also linked to luck, good fortune, and of course, love, and was often used in rituals or celebrations to bring luck to couples.
Wow. You know what? All the trees and plants that we've talked about that are protective for the home, you'd have an orchard.
You would.
You would. You really would.
You know what? I love that.
Hey, sustains life.
Okay. Yes. Up top, Lore.
Woo!
In some parts of Scotland, one particular species called the bird cherry was used to make walking sticks that would protect you from getting lost on your journeys.
Fun.
However, in other parts of Scotland, that same species,
species money penny.
Was known as the witch's tree. And was therefore not to be bothered because it was unlucky. So that kind of shows the duality. The
duality.
With that said, the wood of a cherry tree can be used to make wands or walking sticks furniture. Or anything like that. Yeah, yes. A lot of furniture. Okay, so in spell work. This is what I was curious about because in the movie, it's a big part of their spells.
Yeah.
So I said it is linked to the body, right? Mm-hmm. So cherry juice can be used as a substitute for blood in older rituals or spells. Mm-hmm. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, okay. I did not know that. But I'm thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. And the flesh can be used in place of meat. If a spell calls for meat, you can use the flesh of a cherry. There you go. Come on, vegans.
There we go.
There you go. You can also write out your spells in cherry juice to help harness the properties of cherry.
I like that.
I that's like that a lot. Very it, yeah. pretty. Love and sex spells. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's going to be big here. Cherry wood, resin, or blossoms can be used in these spells to pack an extra punch.
Nice.
You can use the stems in binding or knotwork rituals. Mm-hmm. Love that. Can you tie a cherry stem with your tongue?
I cannot.
That sucks to be you. I can't.
That's Molly Ringwald.
What?
In Breakfast Club.
Oh my God, she does. Yeah.
You know what? Skill.
You know what? I love that. Nuh-uh. Her what skill is to put lipstick on her lips with her boobs.
Well, who does the cherry thing? Never mind. Who the fuck ties a cherry?
Probably does. Like a lot of people. It's like a common thing. Isn't be it? Like, I'm sexy. I can tie a
stem.
I was gonna say
that was Molly.
It wasn't. God. She used her boobs for lipstick. Get it together. It is also said that if you tie a single strand of your hair to a blossoming cherry tree, love will be called to you. Lore, there you go. Come on.
I don't think I have any strands left.
You have a ton of strands. I find them on my clothes on everywhere, every day.
I'm shedding.
Kitchen witches. Come on. You can use cherry. Cherries will lend you their energy in any of your magical concoctions. So make sure to bring them into your craft. Bake a pie. Again, with the jams and jellies.
Jam and jelly.
I just want someone to make me a jam or a jelly. For the divination witches, cherries are surprisingly useful. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you can drink or eat something with cherry in it before your divination rituals or use the scent somewhere to help you channel your psychic abilities.
Ooh.
To see how many years you will live, run around a tree full of ripe cherries and then shake the tree very hard.
Shake the tree.
The number of cherries that fall represent the number of years you have left to live.
Shit.
I'm scared. I don't want to.
I want a full tree.
I can't shake a tree that hard. Like one cherry would fall down and then I would just be paranoid for the rest of that year.
For the remainder of the year.
Fuck that. And lastly, as my movie suggests, cherry pits are used often in spell work. Like this is actually a thing.
Interesting.
Cherry pits aren't to be eaten, okay? Because our body converts parts of it to cyanide when ingested, if I'm understanding that correctly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this gives you insight into what the pits can be used for in magic, right? So
poison rings.
Hexing or, something a little more...
dark.
Naughty. Yeah. Yes. Warding, maybe.
Did you say warting?
Warding. You know what, Lore?
I thought you said wart.
Give it a rest today.
Go grow some warts.
Cherry pits can be used in hex jars, carved into symbols of protection, or used in spells to get rid of unwanted energy. So a little more like, get away from me.
Yeah.
Yes. You can also use cherry pits in love or sex spells, but as always, please be careful with those.
I was thinking of the love witch in her jar in the back of the...
Does she have some cherries in there? You know what
I mean? I would prefer the cherries over what was in there, but yeah.
It wasn't cute what she had in that jar. I did find a ton of good spells utilizing cherries, yeah. like all parts of the cherry. Oh, so nice. I'm going to post some of those over on Patreon because I find that very interesting. And not just cherries, but other pitted fruit.
Yes, pitted fruit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can peach use pits.
Yes, you can definitely. Use those in your spell work too. So come on, that's a cool lesson.
Yeah, that is really cool. And medicinally, you know, cherry juice is used for gout. Tart cherry juice helps the gout. You heard it here, folks.
Thank you.
I mean, who wants gout? Nobody.
Put that on a t-shirt. Who wants gout? Nobody. Laura.
Stitch that shit there on a pillow.
I'm gonna end my lesson there. Thank you for that.
Oh, shit.
Okay, would you like some fun and random
facts?
I
sure would.
Okay, I'm sure you know, told us all of these back in the day, but I'm going to remind us. Carol Striken, I don't know if that's how you say his name, who played Van Horn's assistant or butler in this movie, mm-hmm. is the giant from Twin Peaks. I think his character is called the giant or the fireman.
Isn't he in Men in Black too?
He pops up a lot. Yeah. He has a very distinctive look. Yeah. You'll know him when you see him. But yeah, he's in Twin Peaks. So I said, there you go.
There you go.
My cherry lesson is very fitting. Van Horn's grimoire is called Maleficio. I'm sure I said that wrong.
Maleficio.
I mispronounced something in my Whimsigoth.
Did you?
Witch Whisper that was just criminal.
The 10 things I hate about you, girl. Yes.
And you didn't catch it either.
You know.
But you know what? I can't pronounce anything for shit. Anyway, this word means spell or enchantment, I believe, in Italian. So there you go. And he says it a few times, I think, in the movie. In the book this is based on, Van Horn wasn't the devil, but a warlock. So a little more general.
Okay. All right.
Also, all women who are no longer married develop magical powers. So not just our three ladies. So there you go.
A powerful ass bitch.
I was going to say, Lori, no need to worry. Bill Murray was originally cast as the devil. That would not have worked, in my opinion. And Pam Grier was considered for one of the witches, which is a huge miss, in my opinion. That would have been really cool. I think she's a fantastic actress. Is.
I think her and Cher would have been too similar.
Because I feel like they would have been good together.
I think
you know
too.
What? Both too badass. You're right. John Williams did the score. Mm-hmm. Talented guy. And is generally considered to be like one of the best. And you know what? I had it on. Mm-hmm. I was playing it while I was doing my cherry research. Yeah. And it's a pretty good score. It is. It's very magical and enchanting.
Mm.
It seems like the set of this movie was a hot fucking mess. Okay, lots of drama, lots of weirdness. Every fun fact I read, I was like, oh my God, get it together. What was wrong with you guys? Mm. The producer, John Peters, wanted to slip aliens into the plot for little to no reason. And you know I love an alien, but where the fuck would that have made sense here? I don't know. I guess just about as much sense as whatever he turned into at the end of the movie.
Probably, yeah.
No one seemed to like the director, George Miller. It kind of seemed like an asshole. And maybe, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
It's because he literally told Cher that she was ugly and too old and not sexy and that she was going to ruin this film.
Whoa.
So yeah, we don't fucking like you.
Fuck right off, dude.
I believe he called her on her 40th birthday and said I don't like you. I don't like the way you look. I don't like the way you act and you're going to ruin this movie. And she was like, excuse me, motherfucker.
You're like, I'm fucking sure, dude.
That's exactly what she did.
You're not going to have a fucking job tomorrow is what's going to happen.
Yeah. So there was a lot of tension because he didn't want her there. But she was there.
She rose above it. She said, I'll let you stay.
I'll let you stay. Your own movie.
Motherfucker.
Yeah. I did not like that. So that rubbed me the wrong way. Angelica Houston, who was dating Jack Nicholson at the time, was up for the role of Alex, but bombed her audition. Mm. She went on to play a witch a few years later for Roald Dahl's The Witches, which is unfortunate because that movie was trash. We covered that a while ago, too. But speaking of Alex, Susan Sarandon, I believe, just recently came out and said that she was originally cast as the character of Alex, But Cher was swapped in last minute because of her popularity. Cher was like brought on and she's like, I want the role of Alex.
She's like, I'm Cher, bitch.
I'm going to be the role I want to be.
That's right.
Apparently Sarandon.
You play the cello.
Cello. Apparently Sarandon was not told about this until she arrived set. That's and so she was understandably not too happy. Yikes. Her and Cher didn't get along for the first few weeks until they realized that it was all because of stupid men.
Yeah.
Like they were kind of stirring the pot.
Yeah, yeah.
They shared a beer, talked shit, and became good friends, supposedly. Nice. Nice. So there you go.
Fuck those men, man.
You know what?
Fuck them.
All but Fact Check Jake. He can stay, but the rest, fuck off. the Veronica Cartwright cherry pit scene was supposed to be much more gruesome and graphic. They made a life-sized animatronic of the actress that could vomit nonstop.
Yikes.
But the test audiences thought it was too nasty, so they cut most of the scenes.
Oof.
There you go. Test audiences also thought the original ending of the film sucked. I don't think the test audiences liked the movie at all.
I agree.
So several,
I was part of that audience.
Laura was a part of the audience back in the 80s.
They let it go anyway.
So several versions of the ending were shot. And my... Well, to
none
that,
of them worked.
To that, I say you still landed on that ending.
That's what you took from
if
it?
If I have one, like, bone to pick with that movie, it was... I hated that ending. I hated that ending. So... Yeah. 0 out of 10.
Suck it.
There was a TV spinoff movie called Eastwick released in 2009, and Veronica Cartwright makes an appearance.
Does she?
I believe she's the only original cast member to make an appearance.
Four episodes.
And I don't know how that happened because she died in this movie. But you know what?
She came back.
She came back. Cherry Pits
it was
and
her
all.
Sister.
There you go.
It was her twin. Like that, in Twin Peaks.
Okay, thank you. We've come full circle. That is the Witches of Eastwick round two.
Nice.
You know what?
I think you did a good job.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I liked my lesson. Yeah. I think it's a funny movie. I think if you're into witchy shit, you have to watch it.
Of course.
Some stuff is going to piss you off, but in my opinion, that's part, like Jack Nicholson is supposed to piss you off. I don't think you're supposed to... you're supposed to get his charm, but he's supposed to rub you the wrong way. And so, you know what? 10 out of 10, if that was the goal.
There you go.
You nailed it.
Succeeded.
There you go.
Love it. Right, that means I'm up.
You're up to bat, girl.
And I am tackling today Final Destination.
The long-awaited.
Now, the long-awaited. Now, we can't really say that you covered this and I'm redoing it. You just skipped over this one completely and went straight for what, 3?
You know what?
2?
I did Final Destination 3 before I even talked about Final Destination, which in retrospect, what the fuck was I doing? Now, Final Destination 3 is maybe my favorite. I don't know. I don't know why I did that.
That's the amusement park one, right?
That is the amusement park
staple
one.
Staple gun to the head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were a lot of cool deaths in that one.
Good one, yeah.
But you know what? It has always rubbed me the wrong way about myself. Mm-hmm. That I'm like, why would you do that?
Why would you not talk about one?
One, then two, then three. Yeah. That's going to,
Succession.
So this has been a long-awaited one for me.
So I'm taking the first one.
You're taking the first
which
one.
Which is, without a doubt, my favorite.
Yeah, you know what? It does have Devon Sawa.
Sawa.
We
hey,
love him.
Thanks for spoiling that.
Well, you know what? Owe you.
Yeah. Well, this was the numero uno in the whole shebang.
How many are there?
Well, I'm going to talk about that in one second. It's a supernatural horror film released March 17th, 2000.
Hey, that's very fitting.
Right in time for St. Patty's Day.
Oh my God, that was 24 years ago.
Whoa. There you go. This film spawned the Final Destination franchise.
It did.
Which consisted of 5 films.
Okay.
2 comic books and 9 novels.
Novels?
And I believe Final Destination 6, entitled Bloodlines, is in pre-production right now.
Are you fucking kidding me? Is Devon Sawa?
I do not believe so.
You know what?
The only one I know that is reprising is Tony Todd.
You know what? There he is.
There you
go. That's all I needed to hear. All right.
All right. It is directed by James Wong, who is best known as a writer for the X-Files television series.
Yes.
Yes. And screenplay by
We're going to the South.
Screenplay by James Wong and Glenn Morgan, who also was a writer for the X-Files.
Okay.
And Jeffrey Reddick.
Ooh.
It's based on a story by Jeffrey Reddick, which started out as an unproduced spec script written for the X-Files.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. And then these guys got a hold of it and they were like, dude, you should make this into a movie. And you know what? That's so interesting
because I can see it as an X-Files episode. Like, that makes complete sense.
Yeah, right?
But I'm so glad they did their own thing.
And look what it then ended up producing. I know. Right?
Well, yeah, you can kind of go on with this storyline.
Oh my gosh.
Indefinitely.
Well, you can. And they did some really cool things in this movie that kind of gives it its, you know, its brand. You know what I mean? Like, it brands it so well.
Yeah.
Like, you know what to kind of expect. There's certain things that you know what to expect.
You do, but it's like every movie has its own spin on it. Yeah. Right. It's really good.
Yeah. So different, but you're still looking for those things. All right. So a $23 million budget and it did $112.9 at the box office. So not a clinker. Although the reviews were kind of mixed.
Really?
A lot of, you know, critics were like, nah. Lackluster.
If you don't get it, then just say that.
Yeah, my gosh. All right, here is your cast. Devon Sawa.
I love Devon Sawa. Can I just say that?
You do.
I really do. I love him.
I just saw, you know, some like recent pictures of him, and I'm like, cute as a button.
We love him.
All right, he's Alex Browning. Allie Larder is Clear Rivers.
I like that name, Clear Rivers.
I keep wanting to call her Claire, but then I had to keep... I think
that's kind of the point, right?
Right. Clear Rivers, higher than the sky. All right.
Kerr Smith
is Carter Horton.
We just talked about Kerr Smith.
We just talked about Kerr Smith because he was in My Bloody Valentine. He played a douche in that, and he also plays a douche in this.
Yeah, and he was in Dawson's Creek.
Yes. Was he nice in that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, why is this guy, is he like typecasted as a douchebag?
Oh, no, I liked his character in Dawson's Creek.
Okay, so he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
So it's just the horror movies where he plays like a...
Oh, yeah, he's an asshole in this. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Amanda Detmer is Terry Chaney.
Like her, too.
Uh-huh. I think this was her first role.
Oh, really?
Her first, like... Major
She's
role.
In Saving Silverman.
Yes. Hilarious. Kristen Cloak as Valerie Luton. Sean William Scott as Billy Hitchcock.
Hey, I like Sean William Scott.
Yeah, he's a really good actor. Mm-hmm. Chad Danella as Todd Wagner. Mm-hmm. Brendan Fear as George Wagner. Daniel Roebuck is Agent Ween, and Roger Smith
is... Agent Ween?
I know.
Why would they do that?
It's Weenie.
Agent Weenie?
It's W-E-I-N-E.
Why would you? It's Weenie,
just add
isn't
the R.
It?
Just add the R.
Asian Wiener.
Instead, it's just, I said Ween, so I would sound more, I was going to say Weenie, but you know what? You did it.
What did they call him? Did they call him Agent Weenie? That would really cut the seriousness. They were like, Agent Weenie, get to the scene. It would just ruin it all. We're children.
Roger Smith is Agent Shrek.
Like, yo.
He's not driving an onion mobile.
Stop it.
And the Tony Todd as William Bloodworth.
I love his character in this so much.
I love his character. So personally, before I get into the plot, I have to say that I remember very vividly when this film came out.
Okay.
I remember going to see it at the theater.
Yeah.
And I thought it was like... I was just so impressed with
that.
I thought it was such a departure from the typical popular slasher film. And I'm sure any cinephile could like debate me on who did it first. But I just thought when I saw this film, I was like, wow, this is so different.
I'm sorry. The way they did it, you cannot tell me this was done prior to this. No.
I felt like the plot had a lot of meat.
Mm-hmm.
It was still bloody and disgusting.
Yeah.
But I was hooked on the story.
Like, I was going to say, it had a lot of heart.
Yeah. It kept me on the edge of my seat, and I wanted these kids to beat the bad guy. Like, you really were pulling for these kids.
And you were scared for them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know... When the bad guy is death.
Death is coming for us all. You know what I mean? None of us want to go. Please
That's
no.
a silent but deadly character in the film. But yeah, it's kind of like, wow, they don't stand a chance, right?
SBD.
All right. So here is your plot.
Okay.
The opening sequence is like so cool.
Love a good opening sequence.
It's like the room, the fan. It's just so cool.
Mm-hmm.
High school student Alex Browning is getting ready to take the trip of a lifetime.
Yeah.
A senior class tour to Paris.
Paris.
What? Do like classes really do stuff like that?
Yeah, it's interesting because me and Jake were just talking about this the other day, because when I was a senior, in my high school, the senior class got to go on a trip. It was a different place every year.
Was it outside of the United States though?
Because my one friend went to Spain. And then when I was a senior, they all went to Greece. Like not everyone got to go. You could sign up for it. It was through like the language department or something. It was... I feel
like that would be a logistical a nightmare.
I feel like maybe it doesn't happen now. But when I was a senior, all of my friends went to Greece and I was like super jealous.
We had no senior trip when I was in high school.
Well, you know what? It was a short-lived experience.
I mean, again, logistical nightmare.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if I would have allowed that as a parent. I would have been terrified. No,
you didn't allow it. I was not allowed to go.
You know what? I probably would have been the chaperone.
I think you were like, can I come?
No, I would have had to have been the chaperone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So as he and his friends, Todd and George Wagner, arrive at the JFK airport to meet up with their French class, Todd tells Alex that they better head off to the loo and pinch a loaf. Pinch a loaf.
Yeah.
Because it would not be a pretty sight if they had to do it up in the air.
You know what? I totally agree. Does that just get flushed into the ozone?
I think so.
Well, poop is floating out there if I go poop on a plane.
I don't know.
Someone tell me right now, because I think it does.
Somebody
I think
give the logistics of that to Leanne.
I need to know if my poop is floating out there somewhere.
I have to know. I don't think that's what was on his mind. What was more on his mind was the two popular girls in school. He was afraid that
be caught pinching
that
a loaf.
Smell would waft out.
The wafting, yes.
And that everyone was clamoring for these two popular girls. We get the idea that these guys were not... sitting at the cool kids table, if you know what I mean.
Oh, bummer.
You know
Devin Sawa? Come on now.
No, I don't think he was. So, you know, he didn't want to...
Pinch a loaf. Take a drink every time we say pinch a loaf.
While in the bathroom, the boys are serenaded to John Denver's Rocky Mountain High.
Oh, hold on, let me... Rocky Mountain High, Colorado.
Yeah.
Rocky Mountain High. Dude, I got some twang in there.
And I'm a couple bars.
You know what? I got some pain that can come out in some twang, you know?
Well, anyway, Alex takes notice.
Yeah.
This is a little weird because that guy died in a plane crash. Okay. And so you hear throughout the movie this song anytime somebody's about to bite it.
Yeah, foreshadowing.
I
love their use of music in that. It's in every movie.
And that's what I was kind of talking about. Like, you expected, all right, what song are they using this time? Yeah, like, in the second one, it's like Highway to Hell.
Yes.
Yes.
And in the third, Roller Coaster.
Yes.
Okay, so here's the thing. That is something I would notice.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, if I was sitting in an airport about to get on a plane and I heard a John Denver song, I'd be like, what are you trying to tell me, universe?
Yes. As a matter of fact, somebody said something to me yesterday and I was like, take note and tell Leanne. So remind me.
Okay, shit.
Remind me about that.
No, I'm scared. Okay.
Anyway, so keep that song in mind. Mm-hmm. Alex is already nervous about getting on the plane and this did not help.
No.
As they board the Boeing 747, flight 180, Alex is now sweating and looking a little panicked.
Mm-hmm.
He has had a premonition that the plane is going to explode midair, killing everyone on board. And it's pretty graphic.
Yeah.
It's pretty graphic.
I got to say, this
is scary.
One of those movies that every time I get on a plane, I'm like, Final Destination. Yeah. Right? I saw exactly. How this can happen.
Yeah. So he's abruptly awoken by the two popular girls asking to switch seats.
Did you just pinch a loaf?
No. I smell something. So as he goes on, things that he sees in his premonition begin to happen. Like the little latch falls off he saw it in his premonition. It's kind of going just as he saw it.
Everything he saw in the premonition is starting to come true in real life.
Yes. So he goes into a panic and decides he is not going to stay on this plane. Mm-hmm. He wants the fuck off.
Yeah.
For some reason, this pisses off Roid Raging Jock Carter.
Yeah.
And a fight ensues.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's like crunching the vibe.
He's crunching the vibe. Yeah. And this causes several students to get escorted off the plane.
Right.
Okay. Alex Asshole Carter, his girlfriend Terry, Billy Hitchcock, teacher Val Luton, and BFF George Wagner tells his brother Todd to follow Alex and make sure he is okay.
Okay, yes.
Although not kicked off the plane, artsy loner Clear Rivers is buying what Alex is selling and dips off the plane as well. She's of like, her own accord.
I didn't like the sound of that. I'm going to go.
I think he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
At first, she's giving me some Ally Sheedy vibes from Breakfast Club. Okay, speaking of Breakfast Club again. Mm-hmm. As the students are arguing in the airport lobby about getting tossed off the plane and missing Paris, they witness the flight take off and almost immediately burst into flames.
Fuck.
It shattered the airport windows. That was a really good scene.
I mean, so graphic.
Yeah.
Like, not in a really, it was disturbing. Yeah. I was going to say, no, it was disturbing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, because Billy Hitchcock's, like, looking out the window like, oh, shit, we're missing Paris. And it's just like, explodes.
Yeah.
Everyone is killed on board. And, you know.
They realize they just cheated death.
They just cheated death.
Yeah.
Yes. So agents, FBI agents, Weenie and Shrek. Arrived to question
Wiener and Shrek.
Wiener and Shrek.
Why did they do this to us?
Shrek and Wiener. Shrek and Donkey.
Shrek's Wiener.
Ew.
That was a graphic I didn't need to give to my gosh.
They arrived to the scene to question each survivor, and all fingers point to Alex.
Right.
The FBI think he caused the explosion, and his classmates think he is psychic or the
crazy
devil,
sure,
or something, right?
You're weird.
To quote his teacher, Miss Luton, stay away from me, you scare the shit out of me.
You know what? Yes, poor Alex, but slightly valid. I would have been a little shaken up too. Don't talk to me.
How'd you know that was going to happen?
Right.
Only Clear, who has the hots for him, is in his corner.
You know what? Understandable.
39 days later, there is a memorial service for the fallen classmates and teachers.
It's kind of a long time.
I know. And why 39 days?
39 days.
Well, they're very, yeah, but I didn't see anything in there that it was deliberate, but it was just like 39 days later. Okay.
Wow, okay.
Well, Todd's parents have not allowed him to see or speak to Alex since the accident.
Yeah.
So they do get a chance to talk for a second at this memorial service.
Because his brother died. Todd's brother was still on board. Okay, yes. Yeah,
remember, he told Todd
To go
check on Alex.
Right.
So his brother did not make it, RIP.
Rest in peace, buddy.
So his parents have feelings about that.
Yeah.
So they get to chat for a second at the memorial service, and Todd tells Alex that his parents will get over it someday, and the two can hang together once more.
Well, ouch.
Right?
Yeah.
But later that night, as Todd is in the bathroom, either popping pimples or shaving or something.
Okay, you know what? Don't judge him.
In the mirror.
It's his privacy.
I'm not judging. He is accidentally hung in the shower.
Accidentally is a strong word.
That's no accident. I cannot even watch this scene.
I can't watch
this
scene either.
I cannot watch this scene. It makes me so anxious.
Are you going to describe it?
Should I?
Well, yes, because this is when you first get the sense that like something supernatural is at play, in my opinion, because the way the water moves is unnatural.
They filmed it backwards. So
interesting.
What happens is he's like trying to shave in the mirror.
Yeah.
And it's a tile floor,
right,
which automatically is a nightmare, right? And so the toilet starts leaking.
Right.
And the water starts pooling in his direction. He missteps it.
Multiple
times. Like, you're like, he's going down.
You're like, oh my God.
But he missteps it, but then it catches him.
Yeah.
He falls, and somehow, like, a wire from the shower
curtain or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like his, it's gruesome. His eyes are bugging out. It's like lengthy.
It's very lengthy.
And just creeps. I cannot watch it.
It stands out to me as one of those scenes in a horror movie, though, that this was the first time in this movie that you're like, oh shit. Like, we're not dealing with like
something tangible.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cause the water moves.
Because as soon as he's out, the water retracts back into the toilet.
Oh my God, it does.
Looking
doesn't it?
Like nothing ever happened.
Oh fuck.
Yeah. So this death is chalked up to a suicide over survivor's guilt because of his brother's death. Right.
Oh yeah.
Alex and sleuthing sidekick Clear know there are games afoot and that Todd did not kill himself.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So the two head off to break into the funeral home to check out Todd's corpse.
Oh, I forgot about this scene. It's crazy. Yeah.
While they are there, they meet up with mortician William Bloodworth, played by Tony Todd.
Love it.
And his voice, now if you've seen The Candyman, which is what he's infamous right. for, his voice is so iconic.
It really is.
It really makes you stand up and pay attention, but it also sends shivers right down your freaking spine. I was going to say,
it's like equal parts, like sexy and terrifying.
Yeah. Like he doesn't even have to try to be scary. He just is.
He has that vibe. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is what he tells Clear and Alex. In death, there are no accidents, no coincidences, no mishaps, and no escapes. In so many words, to sum it up, you cheated death when you all walked off the plane. But your friend's departure here shows that death has a new plan for all of you. And you have to figure out when it's coming back at you. Try to cheat it again if you can, but just know by disrespecting the plan, you could unleash a fury that would terrorize even the Grim Reaper. And you don't even want to fuck with that Mac Daddy.
Oh, it's so iconic, but yes. Literally even you saying that gave me chills. I'm it's like oh,
makes the
no.
hair stand right up on your head.
That's so scary.
And then he says, what you have to realize is every single move that we make, from the mundane to the monumental, do we stop at the red light or do we go? Do we wear the jacket or the black hoodie?
Ooh, why am I gonna cry? Ooh, wait, no, that made me really uncomfortable. Yeah,
is all part of death's design.
He did not say that.
He didn't say black hoodie.
Oh my God, I was gonna say, don't tell me that.
Leading us to the grave.
Oh my God.
And of course they're like,
Yeah, they're shitting their fucking pants.
And so they're like, okay, we're just gonna leave.
Okay, anyway, bye.
And then he goes, I'll see you soon. Yike. That's not something you want to hear from a mortician.
No, absolutely not.
It's the best part of the whole damn movie and chills. Chills,
it really chills, is. Chills. Yeah.
The next day, Clear and Alex decide to grab some coffee at the local cafe and discuss their next move.
Right.
When in a moment of happenstance, all of the other survivors happen to be there.
Right.
The teacher, you know, Roy Raging Carter, all of them.
Yeah.
They happen to show up. Teacher Miss Luton seems to be the only one who is visibly wrecked from this whole incident. Everybody else is kind of like, I got my makeup on. I'm like, looking good.
No, she's like terrified.
She's terrified.
Yeah.
You know, the kids are like, yeah, it's business as usual, right? She's planning to get the hell out of Dodge. She's packing up her shit and hitting the road.
Yeah.
Right? Carter, being the asshole that he is yelling about something, and his girlfriend Terry has just about had enough of his shit. She tells him that he can drop dead, and out of nowhere, she is splattered all over the pavement by an oncoming bus. I did not see that coming. That was so jarring.
I remember the first time I saw it.
And I think I about shit my pants.
The first time I saw it, like, that was one of those shocking scenes that you're like, oh, fuck.
And I think the teacher's reaction was, like, spot on.
She's a pretty good actress.
She is.
Yeah.
I think she's married to the one director.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But she is very good. So her reaction was kind of like, that seemed so realistic, her
it
reaction.
Did. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I about crap my pants. Alex comes to the conclusion that death is coming for the survivors in the order of how they would have died in the plane crash.
So interesting.
And so he knows that next up is Mrs. Luton. Ms. Luton.
Oh, fuck. That poor girl. You got to feel bad for her.
Is the...
Do you think it's the worst?
I think it's the worst, because this one, even when I watched it the other night, man, it is a nail biter, because you kind of know it's coming now that you've seen, you know,
so many,
you're like,
happen.
Oh, girl.
Rest in peace.
She decides while she's packing to spin a little vinyl, opting for some John Denver's Rocky Mountain High.
Girl, in what world?
Why, Val? Why?
Why?
But the details, this is a Virgo's dream right here.
It is.
So she decides that she's going to make herself some hot tea. Right?
Yeah.
And so she pours the water into her mug and something like scares her. So
right.
She decides that she needs a stiff drink instead.
Yeah.
And so she reaches for a bottle of vodka out of the freezer and pours it into the same cup that the hot water was in. So anybody knows that you have boiling hot water and then you put freezing.
Smart.
It's going to crack.
It's going to crack.
Right?
Yeah.
And so then the liquid is dripping out. This leads to a series of events that finds Val bleeding to death and impaled by a kitchen knife.
And that's all you can really say about it, because you have to just watch it.
But she, yeah, at one, but she's like bleeding and she reaches up for a kitchen towel, which is like nestled on, you know, those
knives,
those butcher blocks of knives. Oh shit. It's like you can, you're literally feeling sick for her.
And you're like screaming at the TV, like, no, no.
Right. It's just so.
It's another one of those things where you're just like, you feel helpless watching it because you're so not working with, like, I don't know, something realistic, but like
something tangible that you can beat.
Yes.
Like you can't beat it. You can see it's, right. Alex is caught at the scene trying to save her, of course, but that's not how the FBI agents see it. Alex seems to be at the center of all of these deaths.
Agent Weenie knows there are games afoot.
The final four reunite, and an enraged Carter says death's not taking him out this way. Mm-hmm. He will go out on his own terms, opting to park his car in the middle of some train tracks as an oncoming train approaches.
Interesting choice.
Right? Everyone hops out of the car and pleads with Carter to save himself, which he decides to do at the last minute, of course. Today is not my day.
Right.
But death has a plan for you, Carter. The car won't start and his seatbelt is stuck. And even though he's a douchebag, I'm like, oh my God, get out of there. You know, get out of there, Carter. I'm like, duh, it's such a, talk about anxiety. Like I needed that this week, right?
Yeah.
Alex breaks him free at the last minute, saving Carter. But the train collides with his car and a piece of the shrapnel hits Billy, lopping off his head.
Rest in peace, Sean William Scott.
Yikes. Alex's sadness over the loss of Billy is brief as he realizes that Carter was next in the succession.
Oh.
But because he intervened, it skipped Carter and jumped to Billy.
Ah, so you can skip it.
Yes. Skip death.
Yes.
Thus cheating it again. This is your way out.
Tony Todd told you not to do that.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Alex is now on the FBI's most wanted list, and he goes on the lam, hiding out in Clear's family cabin. Mm-hmm. He has a death proof, but death is not giving up so easily, attempting to impale him with like a rusty nail or a fish hook or something.
So anything. And
that was such a good scene. He's like, oh, cute. Tetanus. I didn't plan for that. but I got you.
Yeah.
So it skips him and then he realizes that Clear is next.
Oh, fuck.
On death's doorstep, right?
Okay.
So, I mean, there's only three of them left. What?
It's going to just keep bouncing around.
It's going to keep bouncing around. Alex saves Clear from electrical cables and gasoline.
That like, scene to me was very scary.
Right?
Yeah. Like visually very scary.
Yeah. So she's in her car trying to get away.
Well, that's the thing about all of
electrical
this.
Cables.
Is that all of it could really happen.
It could all really happen. Yes, because it seems like crazy accidents.
Right.
So death is like silent, but it's taking you out, right?
I don't, this is giving me the creeps. Ooh,
but he saves her and they've beaten death once again, right?
Sure.
So they think now that they've gone through the whole three
that
and they've
okay.
skipped it, that they've cheated it and they're, you know.
Good to go. We're all right.
On to better things. So a few months later, the three remaining peeps, Clear, Carter, and Alex, head off to Paris to celebrate.
Yeah.
Why you would go to Paris, I don't really know.
Where they were supposed to go in the first place.
Yeah, it's kind of, that's kind of gruesome.
Oh, Lord.
Right? Alex is still uneasy, claiming death did not skip him after he saved Clear.
Okay.
So he is worried, as he should be, because at that moment, a bus hits something, setting off another chain reaction, mm-hmm. which hurls this huge neon sign right at Alex. Mm-hmm. Carter, knee-jerk, quickly rushes in and pushes him out of the way, only for the sign to come back and take out douchebag Carter.
Rest in peace.
And then there were two.
No.
Dun, 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 dun.
Rocky Mountain
Colorado. As a matter of fact, somebody, there was a street singer singing it in French on the street.
Oh, I like that detail.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
So good. So good. So that is the end of the movie.
So there, it's just those two. Uh-huh. And you don't know what the fuck's going on.
Right.
You find out in part two. Which I also skipped.
Did you?
Well, I went right to three.
I didn't talk about that one either.
Oh my God.
That one was also good. Yeah, that was
I
the
like
pile
them all.
Up.
After three, they start getting a little
the
wonky.
The pool drain, I'm not down with that one.
Really? Because it was kind of scary.
Did you like that one?
I mean, I didn't like it, but it was,
plausible?
Well, none of it. That's the thing about these movies is that, like, none of it is plausible, but it is.
But it is.
I don't know.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All right. Here's a few fun facts.
Okay.
The original title of the film was Flight 180.
Ooh, I don't like that.
The number sequence makes many appearances throughout the film.
Yeah.
They decide to change it to Final Destination. They didn't want it getting confused. I think there's a Denzel movie, Flight 187 or something like that. And then Con Air. So they were trying.
Return of the Con Air hair.
Return of Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, I don't think it would have packed the same punch with the title Flight 180.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then how would you have continued? I don't know.
Right, yeah. Right. So Final Destination it was.
I liked it.
The story was inspired by a real life event. Writer Jeffrey Reddick was on a plane reading an article about a woman who was also about to take flight.
Okay.
But her mom called and asked her not to board the plane because she had a very bad feeling about it. And so she switched flights. And the plane she was supposed to be on crashed.
Yikes.
This put the idea in his head about, one, premonitions, and two, he was like, what if she was supposed to be on that plane?
Ooh.
And thus...
Yeah.
The script was written.
Oh.
And the film borrows concepts from actual plane crashes, and the television footage shown in the movie is from actual crashes.
Oh my God. Yeah. What?
Mm-hmm.
Yikes. Okay, that makes that even scarier.
Right? Yeah, like when they're watching the news reports on the TV.
It's actual. It's actual
footage. Allie Larder reprises her role in Final Destination 2, and Tony Todd can be seen or heard in all of the films except Final Destination 4.
Okay, come on. Mm-hmm. Then that makes 4 a piece of shit.
Yeah.
I like that little addition. That he's like a presence in every film.
Yes, yeah. I know. And again, wink, wink, I heard he's in 6.
Oh my God, now I'm excited.
Ooh. All right, the writers pay homage to horror by naming most of the characters after filmmakers and stars of the old black and white horror films.
Okay, fine.
So Terry Chaney, Lon Chaney.
Oh.
Agent Shrek is Max Shrek, who played Nosferatu.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
Okay.
Billy Hitchcock, Alfred Hitchcock, mm-hmm. and on and on and on.
Almost nice.
Each one of them is named after somebody.
Okay, wait, that's kind of cute.
That's pretty cool,
yeah.
Right? If you pay attention, there is a lot of foreshadowing in this film. Not
that's
just the song.
Yeah.
How our survivors die, right? One by one. So one example is about 11 minutes in when the two popular girls ask Alex to switch seats with him. Todd makes a hanging motion towards Alex.
Oh shit.
And that's something like you really,
you don't
it's
even
so
think
subtle
about,
you wouldn't even
I've
think
never
about.
Caught
but
that.
There's a lot of them.
Really?
And I'm not going to divulge them because I think it would be fun to, you know,
ooh, wait,
go
now
and check
I
want
to go and try to find them.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, I like that.
Very cool. All right. So what is my lesson?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I'm going to talk about cheating death.
Oh, this is really scary. Okay.
It is. And it is, there is a trigger warning because I am going to talk about real events.
Oh shit. Are
that
you?
Happen to people.
Oh my God. Okay. Hold on. Do I need another Yingling?
Do you?
I don't know.
I know. I read this and I was like, this is really creepy. Holy shit. All right. So, one of the most famous myths surrounding the cheating of death comes from our favorite Greek mythology. Which
there it is.
You just mentioned earlier, right?
I sure did.
But we haven't talked about it in a minute, and it comes out of Homer's Iliad.
Okay.
The story goes that death came to fetch Sisyphus.
Sisyphus.
But the cunning man ensnared death. Okay. Once free, death snatched up old Sisyphus and hauled him down to the underworld. He managed to charm his way back to the top side.
How does one do that?
Stating that his wife had not made the proper funeral arrangements for his body, which then would dishonor the gods.
Okay.
Yes. Given permission to tend to the matter, Sisyphus cheated death once more by not returning to the underworld as promised, continuing to evade and live to a ripe old age. When he finally did take that elevator downstairs, he was punished for his trickery by having to spend eternity pushing a big rock up a steep hill, only to have it roll back down as he neared the top. And I'm sure everyone has seen this picture.
I have, yeah.
Yeah. Both labor-intensive and a futile endeavor.
Yeah, that fucking sucks, buddy.
There's your afterlife.
No.
So in reality, you did not cheat death.
No. Fuck.
All right. So here are a few real-life events. That have happened. These were very unnerving. So again, a trigger warning.
Okay.
Because I was like, ooh, and there were so many and I just picked.
Are there really?
Yes. There were actually a lot.
Why do I like literally have the chills.
As you should.
Okay.
As you should. It's a little, yeah. All right. In June of 2011.
Oh, fuck.
A Russian woman named Fegilyu, I hope I said that right, told her husband that she was having chest pains.
Okay.
A few hours later, the doctor pronounced her dead. Okay. At the funeral, as friends and family came to bid their final farewell, the casket flies open and out pops a very much alive Figilio.
The woman. You fucking serious? That, right. No, I don't like that.
The woman.
I mean, good for her, but right? Yeah.
Yeah. The woman screamed in horror and then collapsed and dropped dead 12 minutes later of a heart attack from shock. Shack attack. Instead of a heart attack, it was a shack attack.
A short attack. Oh my God, wait. So she was so freaked out by the fact that she fucking died.
Yeah.
What the fuck? What happened?
Hopefully that doctor's not still in practice.
Oh my God. That's like not dead. Funny. I don't mean to sound like I'm laughing, but what the fuck?
She's dead.
Wrapped in plastic. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We're ready for the next one.
Yeah.
All right. Jessica De Lima Roll was a 21-year-old college student who was helping to sell tickets to an event at a famous local hotspot called the Kiss Nightclub.
Okay.
As she was getting ready to go to the concert, her boyfriend pleaded with her to not go. So she opted out of the event.
Mm-hmm.
That January night in 2013, the club caught fire due to the band's faulty pyrotechnics, killing 238 people.
Oh my God.
Jessica was lucky to be alive, all thanks to her boyfriend. Unfortunately, 5 days later, after picking him up from work, their Volkswagen collided head-on with a truck, killing the couple.
I don't like this. I don't like this right? at all.
I know. Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No. Oh my God. There was just so many of these, and I'm like, I just can only pick a few.
I'm uncomfortable.
I can only pick a few.
Right. It's rare that you make me like, or not you, but yeah, like the topics talk we about. Talk about.
Sure, because we usually don't go into these waters, you know, but it's kind of like what the movie Whoa. Is about. And it, you know that even horror movies, as odd or as unplausible as they are based in some sort of
That's what's so scary about
something
this
somebody
one.
Heard, right?
Yeah.
All right, Hilda Yolanda Mayo was working in a restaurant on the ground floor of the World Trade Center on a September 11th, 2001. Luckily, Yolanda was one of the few people to survive.
Okay.
2 months later, on November 12th,
Dude.
Yolanda was killed aboard Flight 589 along with all of the other passengers as the plane crashed into the New York boroughs of Queens.
What the fuck? I'm like so uncomfortable. Like, I don't even know what to say to you. I don't know what to say.
You're like, I'm never getting on a plane again.
Oh, well, that's like, I told you and Jake.
Yeah.
Like, unless you're taking me somewhere I really want to go.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
It's not happening. We'll drive.
Yes.
All right. Here's the next one. An up-and-coming Texas. Now, this one is the one that freaked me out the most,
oh,
I
God.
Think.
Okay.
All right. An up-and-coming Texas sportscaster / blogger named Jessica Redfield was lucky enough to survive the Eaton Center Mall shooting that happened in Toronto in June of 2012. All right. Okay. So she's from Texas.
Okay.
She's in Toronto. She survives the shooting. Her gut told her to step outside for some fresh air or she would have been killed.
Oh my God.
All right. Only to have her life cut short during the infamous Dark Knight Rises movie shooting in Aurora, Colorado in the movie theater in July of 2012. What the fuck? That was literally 1 month later. So how do you go from Texas then to Toronto and then you're in, where's she at? Colorado. That's just like too freaky.
No, that one, ew. Oh my God, I'm so sorry to these people.
I know.
What the fuck?
Yeah. So we typically don't talk about these types of things because, again, we're not trying to.
No.
You know, these are people's lives. And
yeah.
These people have families. And so, but it's
it
just
does
interesting.
Make you, like the theme of this movie, it does make you think that just something else is just,
at play here.
Yeah, at play. Yeah.
All right, Johanna Gonthaler from France was vacationing in Brazil when she and her husband were late to catch the flight back home. The plane crashed, killing all 228 people aboard. So the couple arrived safely back at home, only for Johanna to be killed in a car accident a few weeks later.
Okay, so don't get on any form of transportation is
no
what I'm learning
transportation.
Today. What the fuck?
Right?
God damn, that sucks.
That's all the further I'm going. There were so many more, and there were like... famous, like I think there was a Winston Churchill and you know, some different famous people that also, you know, had some.
It's one of those things where people are like, that's just coincidence. But it's like, dude.
Is it though? Yeah. I know. It's a little unsettling, right?
A little. Yes. I'm highly uncomfortable.
Yikes.
Oh my God.
So I was kind of looking into pop culture because I feel like this is a running theme. And I thought, wow, this really tied if you were doing Death Becomes Her, because their quest was eternal life
to cheat
death, right? In 1812, the brothers Grimm published a fairy tale called Godfather Death.
Okay.
Which of course we know from the old Grimm boys, they teach through fear.
Sure.
And that's the name of the game. So give it a read if you want to check it out. But the moral of the story is you cannot cheat death, period. Right. So, yeah. And so then there, but there's so many because you have Harry Potter, you have Voldemort, you have the picture of Dorian Gray, you have Neil Gaiman's The Sandman, you have Chaucer. We just talked about Geoffrey Chaucer and the Canterbury Tales. There's a story in there, The Pardoner's Tale, which is about cheating death. So, you know, obviously
it's like a part of being alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
wanting
you
to
know
cheat
that
death.
You have to die.
Stay young.
So,
and cheat death. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Interesting, right? And I do, I remember we've talked about the Grim Reaper before, so.
I believe so, yeah.
Interesting. Always love in Supernatural when they, like, trick the Grim Reaper with food, like fried pickles or.
Me, you know. Me as a Reaper. You want to give me some food and then I'll let you go?
I'll let you go.
Damn. Yeah. Okay, well.
Hey.
Hey.
Yikes.
Thank you for that enlightening lesson.
Right?
God damn. Yeah. Hey, rest in peace to everyone we talked about today.
Yeah, of course. Oh, absolutely. Wow. Yeah, so that's not typical for us, but I mean, that is what the movie called for. And
it's
interesting because it seems so far-fetched. And so is
the plot of the movie, sure.
Yeah, so I was really super surprised that there were so many occurrences.
I didn't think you were going to be able to find anything like that. Yeah. When you said that was your lesson, I was like, really? Holy shit.
I was
shit.
Shocked. Okay. There were a lot more. But
I feel
like
now I'm going to walk through life a little more uncomfortable.
We already
Thank
do
you.
That.
No. I was going to say, just every day I'm alive, I just get slightly more uncomfortable.
Yikes.
So we'll leave you all with that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Go have a Yingling.
Oh my God, I was going to say, go do whatever makes you feel happy.
There you go.
All right, hey.
All right,
that was, I did like that.
Yeah,
that like
good.
That movie is, you reminded me of how fucking good that movie
so
is.
So good.
You're right, the first one is the best.
The first one is so good.
Yeah, the cast and just, I remember like seeing it for the first time, that kind of storyline, you were what is going on?
Yeah, again, because it was like so new and fresh to me. And then of course, when the subsequent films came out, it was like, oh, you kind of had a little bit of an idea of
but
what was happening.
First time,
but that first one was like, what the heck?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
oh my
so
God.
Good.
Hey, everyone go watch Final Destination or don't. You might be too scared, but you know what? We're here for you.
There you go.
All right. We'll catch you next time.
All right. TTFN.
Cut, print, check the gate. Moving on.